Okay. Morning. Today's daf in Yuma, Pei Zayin. We are in Pei Vav Amud Beis. About a dozen lines more, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, starting with the words Tanu Rabbanan. Immediately after the parentheses, the Gemara now, as we wrap up, we're finishing up the Masechta. Just two more days to go before we conclude with Yuma. Next Masechta, I believe, is Sukkah. So, and obviously the topic of discussion has been Tshuva as we round out to the end of this Masechta. So the Mishnah talks about the kapar that's achieved on Yom Kippur, and how do we achieve kapar on Yom Kippur? So there is a sheet of Rebbe, which we heard yesterday, which we're going to hear again a little bit later this morning, and that is that Yom Kippur by itself is mechaper. You don't even need tshuva on Yom Kippur. Now, even Rebbe has a limit in terms of how much can you exploit that rule. Anyway, as I pointed out yesterday, the Mishnah doesn't read like Rebbe. The Gemara tried to fit Rebbe into the Mishnah, and the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rebbe, but there is that sheet, the sheet of Rebbe, which we're going to hear a couple of times here at the end of the Masechta. We heard it once. We're going to hear it again a little bit later on. Mechanics of tshuva, how tshuva is actually done. So from our Gemara, we're going to get a basic idea of how to do tshuva and what exactly it entails. The Rambam, when he formulates it, does so in as typical for the Rambam, in a systematic and organized fashion. And if you want to see mechanically exactly how to do tshuva step by step, so obviously the Rambam dedicated an entire section of his Mishnah Torah to that. As you can imagine, it's called Hilchos Tshuva. Good. In the meantime, and by the way, not the only classic author on tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah also Shari Tshuva, another classic work in terms of the mechanics of tshuva. So, or the Rishonim do systematically put all of our Gemaras and take them and consolidate them into an organized fashion. With all that stated, Tanu Rabbanan, let's continue where we left off yesterday in the Gemara. Aver she hizvade aleim yom kippurim zeh, lo yizvade aleim yom kippurim acher. So you did vidui on your Aver this Yom Kippur. Okay, good. Congratulations. That's a good vidui, and you don't have to repeat vidui on a future Yom Kippur. V'im shana behem tzarech lizvados yom kippurim acher. So, but if you repeat the Aver, so then you have to repeat your vidui. V'im lo shana behem because of hizvade aleim. Now, let's say you didn't repeat your Avera. So then there's no need to repeat your vidui. And if you do repeat your vidui, so Allah v'kasev omer kekelav shav al ko ksil shona be'ivalto. Pasuk and Mishlei describes how basically it's like you're backing up right on that which you already regurgitated. It's a very graphic description over here. But the idea is that you already said vidui on it. It's in the past and you leave it in the past. And you don't revisit it, and you don't back up into it again. So the sheet of the Tanakhama is very clear, and that is that once you did vidui, that's it. The avera is miskaper; it's atoned for, and you don't have to go back, and you don't have to revisit it. Sheetas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amer Kol Shekein Shu Meshubach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov has a totally different strategy, and that is, even though you didn't repeat the avera, and even though you said vidui over the avera, you're going to say vidui again over said avera, over the same avera. Shenamar the pasuk says, "Ki pishani eda vechatasi negdi tamid." I take my chet and I put it in front of me all the time. In other words, it's good to be cognizant and aware of the averas that you did, even though you said vidui, even though you received a kapara. Nevertheless, do it again. So, let's first finish with the Gemara. Elamani mekayim kikel sheval ko. Okay, so what about that pasuk? Pasuk and Mishlei describing the dog who backs up over his own vomit. So could Rav Huna, so the Gemara says, no, from that pasuk he generates, it derives a totally different halacha. Notably, the Amar Rav Huna, Kivin Shavar Adam, Aver Vishana Bo, a person violates an Aver, repeats the Aver, Hucherlo. The Aver now becomes mutter to him, to which the Gemara asks, this Gemara occurs frequently throughout Shas. The Gemara says, Hucherlo Sagadatcha? What do you mean? You really mean to say that it becomes mutter just because you repeat the Avera? No. Ela'ema nasis lo keheter. No. What it means is that it's not mutter. It means that now, psychologically, it's as if now it is mutter to you, meaning that you don't view it as a bad thing anymore. Meaning the first time you do the Avera, you know it's a bad thing, but you got tempted. The Yetzara got the best of you. But after that point in time, you become desensitized. And at that point in time, you're no longer... And you're not even aware, cognizant of the fact that it's wrong what you're doing is wrong. That's how habituated you became to the Avera. Okay. So we have over here now just gone through a very basic machlokas amongst the Tanaim in terms of whether or not if you did vidui on an Avera that you did, whether or not there's any benefit and and positive of repeating the vidui, even though you didn't repeat the aveira. Tanakhama says don't repeat the vidui, and if you do, it's like stepping in your own vomit. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, you should actually go ahead and repeat the vidui. Where does that leave us off? The Gemara doesn't resolve and take a position. Usually, when you have a machlokas hatanaim, so you follow the Tanakhama over that of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says very little throughout Shas, and whenever he says, it's kavanaki, it's an accepted position. As you can imagine, the Rishonim debate whether or not we should be following the viewpoint of the Tanakhama or that of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Rambam takes the side of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He writes that even though you said vidui, so you should go ahead and you should say vidui again. Even on a chet you did not repeat. So the Rambam sides with the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if I remember correctly. So Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, so he sides with the Tanakhama. Okay, so Machlokis, Tanayim, Machlokis Rishonim. Okay, V'tzarech Lefrod HaSachet. Now, you're going to do Vidui, and you're going to do it over a sin. So in your Vidui, so it is a confession, okay, but I feel the need at this point in time to emphasize it's Jewish confession, right? It's, in other words, the Vidui is between you and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You are talking now to Hashem, directly to Hashem. No intermediate. So, v'tzarech lefrod hazachet, and what you have to do now is that you have to specify the sin that you did. Shenem ra'ana chata amazeh chata gedola v'yasu lehem Elohei Zahav. Div Rav Yehuda ben Bava. So, according to Rav Yehuda ben Bava, not only is it necessary to be mizvada, to confess, but to state clearly and articulately what exactly you did wrong. And he cites precedent. And by Moshe, when asking for forgiveness for the Jewish people, so he says they made Elohei Zahav. He said exactly what they did. Now Rabbi Akiva takes a different position. Asher inasui pesha kisui chata. So you know what you should do? You should cover up your averas. Now we quoted already this pasuk in yesterday's daf, and we noted a discrepancy. Sometimes a person should broadcast his averas. Sometimes he should keep it to himself. So remember, yesterday we noted a steer between the psukim, and yesterday the Gemara gave two different approaches in terms of how to resolve them. The second approach of the Gemara is that it's the difference between Beinam L'Chavir, Beinam L'Makom. When you violate Averes, Beinam L'Makom, so that you keep to yourself. You don't share that with other people. Beinam L'Chavir, that you share with other people. And Rashi in yesterday's daf, I mean, I say yesterday's daf, it's still, you know, on the same page. But Rashi in yesterday's daf, so he said the reason why you want to share with other people is so that they can go ahead and be an ambassador for you, go to the aggrieved party, try to create shalom between you and the aggrieved party. Anyway, so over here, Rabbi Akiva says that when doing vidui, so you should not specify that what you did. That sounds like a great precedent. So Kid Rav Yanai, the Gemara says, no, it's not a great precedent. The Amar Rav Yanai, Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Kesef Vazav, Shehirbeiti Lahem Leitzal, Ad Sha'amru Dai, Garam Lahem Sheyasu Elohei Zahav. It wasn't that Moshe was being mefart as a chait. What he was trying to do was he was trying to defend and explain on behalf of the Jewish people. You know why it is that they made a golden calf? Because they had so much gold. In other words, right? They left Mitzrayim, and I understand it was a promise that you made to Avram Avinu, but they had an excessive amount of gold. And what happens is that, okay, well, you have all that money, so, you know, you lose it a little bit. So, okay, so he's trying to defend the Jewish people in terms of why they did what they did, but it wasn't for the purposes of being mefarit as a chet. According to Rabbi Akiva, you should not be mefarit as a chet. So now we get on to another major machlokas hatanaim in terms of when doing vidui, is it necessary to specify the chet that you did? And it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. Here? Yeah, right. Okay, good. So whether the defense is a good defense, I don't know, but that's what Moshe was trying to do. Okay, so on this machlokas tanayim, so I don't know. I don't know where we stand halach lamaisa. In other words, generally speaking, when you have a machlokas Rabbi Akiva against somebody, so against anybody, so the halach is like Rabbi Akiva. So over here, I'm not sure. However, on the vidui that we say, so I write Yom Kippur, we'll talk about this at the end of today's daf. So vidui is part and parcel of the nusach of Yom Kippur, right? And we say vidui a lot, right? Every tefillah we say vidui. In fact, not only we say vidui in every tefillah, we repeat the vidui. We say it both in the Tfilas Lachash and in the Silent Shemona Esrei, and also in Chazar Sashatz as well. By the way, you'll notice it's much discussed. The placement of Vidui is not the same for the Silent Shemona Esrei as it is for the Chazar Sashatz. For the Silent Shemona Esrei, Vidui is at the end of Shemona Esrei. It's really when you finish Shemona Esrei. Meanwhile, in Chazar Sashatz, it's put into the middle of Shemona Esrei. Good. That's discussed. The Gemara is not going to discuss it, but that's discussed at length. The other interesting note, which we're going to get to also later this morning, is that we say Vidui even before Yom Kippur, right? On the Mincha, before Yom Kippur, we say Vidui. Okay, all this notwithstanding, in the Vidui, so do we specify the Chet? So in the Nusach, of course, the answer is no, right? All the expressions that we use, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazanu, so those are very generic, like, you know what I mean? Like, we did that. But in other words, and yes, they do point to different activities, but no way are you specifying what you did wrong. In other words, you're just reading a standard nusach about how, you know, we're totally imperfect. So is there a need to be mefardas a chait? So Rabbi Kiva would say no. Okay. So, but again, I'm not sure where we land on this issue. Shnei parnasim tovim amdu lam Yisrael. Okay. Now, as a role model. So we have two Jewish leaders historically, and Amdu Lam Yisrael, Moshe and David, and we're going to compare and contrast Moshe and David in terms of this particular detail of, look, they did things that they needed to express Vidui over. Did they want it specified, or did they want to cover it up? Yesh v'yesh. So Moshe, Amar Yikasev Sorchani. So as far as Moshe was concerned, so he's like, you know what? Write it down. Meaning, I wanted to go into the Torah exactly what I did. So, and the pasuk says, Parshas Chukas. We just read this right a bunch of weeks ago. Yan lo amanti bilaki sheni. Okay, good. So because of Me Meriva, so Moshe was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to write down the Torah. Now, David Amar Yikasev Surchani. Now, as far as David Amalek is concerned, he said, don't write it down. Shenemar Asher Nasri Pesher Kisur Chata. Now, it's kind of hard to understand when David Amalek says, don't write it down. You know how we know about it? Yeah, because it's written down. So I'm unclear as to what that means, don't write it down. It was written down. So not sure. I'm not sure what exactly it means. I understand the sentiment that's being said, but I don't know what exactly it's being referred to when it says don't write it down. Meanwhile, it's there. So anyway, Mashal the Moshe V'Dav L'Ma Dav V'Dama. Okay, so now the Gemara says, good. So again, machlokas atanaim, now it goes back even earlier. Machlokas between, machlokas. But in other words, two different approaches in terms of whether or not a person should specify the chet that he did. The approach of Moshe, the approach of David. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you a mashal to help us understand it. So, mashal de Moshe v'dav lama davidomer. So what is it comparable to? L'shei nashim shalaka b'beizdin. So two women are getting machlokas and beizdin. Now, in terms of why they're getting malchus, so two different reasons. Two different women, two different reasons. One is because kilkala, she committed adultery. Okay. And the second one is achla page shvias. So she ate per shmita. However, page means that they were unripened and they weren't ready yet to be eaten. And even though there was a mitzvah in the shmita year to eat per shvias up until the time of Shas Bir, right? We are on the border of a Shnasa Shmita, right? This coming year in Eretz Yisrael is a Shmita year. And so in just a couple months from now, right? In a couple months from now, we're starting Shnasa Shmita. All fruits that grow during the Shmita year, so they have Kedusha Shvi'is, and there's a mitzvah to eat them. But you have to eat them in a normal fashion. In other words, what this woman did, the second woman, is she ate Pagi Shvi'is. So it was figs, but they were not ripe. So she shouldn't have eaten them yet. Now, it is a bitul asay. Certainly, it's not subject to malchus. In other words, you shouldn't be getting malchus for it. So my best guess would be that this is malchus midderabanan. Anyway, the point is as follows. It's very simple mashal. In other words, one woman did something that was really wrong. Another woman did something that was mildly wrong. They both, however, receiving malchus. So as far as perception is concerned, these are two bad women. So Amar lam osu sha'achla pagishviyas bevakashamichem hodiyah Amahi loka. Okay, I got the grammar right. Shalo yomra amash zuloka. And so, the woman now who ate the Pagi Shvi'is. So she says now to the Beis Din, do me a favor. Could you make the announcement? I want people to know why I'm getting Malkus. Meaning, fine. I'm getting Malkus. I deserve Malkus. Good. I want people to know it because I don't want people to put me and her in the same boat. Meaning she's getting Malkus for a totally different reason and for something that that embarrasses me. And I don't want to be put in the same boat of her. Okay. So Aviyu Pagishvius Vitalabit Savaral. So now what they did is they took the Pagishvius, they hung it around her neck, and that basically announces to the world why it is that she's getting Malkus. And they made an announcement in front of her that she's getting Malkus for inappropriately eating Perishvius. Mefarsa, okay, period. The mashal definitely does help us understand, although it's in other words, they take the mashal and I apply it over here. In other words, Moshe is saying, look, do me a favor. I don't want to be put in the same boat with him. Once you speak out the mashal by Moshe and David, it's uncomfortable. It's, okay. No, that's also interesting, right? That also is it's a great question, right? Let me just repeat the question. Do you get Malkus for Neo, for adultery? No, it's Mises Beis Din. And the general rule is, that you do not get Malkus for anything which is subject to Mises Beis Din. So, any Avera that could lead to Mises Beis Din, you don't get Malkus for. So the Rambam, I was just doing this yesterday with the guys here. So the Rambam in Hilchos Marmim says that, when you violate Lo Sasa, you don't get Malkus. Meaning when you violate a rabbinic, so the Rambam says that you violate Nisr Torah, right, of Lo Sasa. Okay, good. The Ramban argues fine. Anyway, but the Rambam says fine. So you violated the Rabbanan, and therefore you violate Lo Sasa. So you should get Malkus, right? So the Rambam says no. Why not? Because Lo Sasa can lead to the death penalty. Really? So yeah, because not in every cases. In fact, most cases, it's not going to lead to the death penalty. But if you're a member of Beis Din and the Beis Din passes one way and you decide that you're going to deviate from what the Beis Din says, and so you're a Zaken Mamre. And Zaken Mamre is Chayv Misa. So it's an Aveira that could lead to Misa. Again, in most cases it won't, but it could. So therefore you don't get Malkus. So same thing over here. By Neo, if it could lead to Misa. So therefore you're not going to get Malkus. So my best guess now would also be that for the Mina Efes, she also got Malkus for Malkus Midarabanan. Malkus Mardus.
She was given them that. A scroll on Malkus by mistake instead of giving it a scroll.
I think the pshat. No. I think the simple pshat is that Beis Din wanted people not to behave this manner. And sometimes it's within the purview of Beis Din to give Malkus to basically make sure that people think twice before engaging in this kind of behavior. Okay. No. That's, in other words, the Malkus is a rabbinic Malkus. The rabbis decided. No, I understand that, but you need due process. In other words, and due process requires witnesses and warning. Rare is the time that's going to lead to Misa. And as we just concluded, you don't get Malkus for it. But the Chachamim wanted to make sure that this behavior is curtailed. And so what they're going to do is they're going to give her Malkus and basically make a show of it. Like, don't engage in this kind of behavior. Not just for her, but for the public at large. But they can't. They don't have way. You need witnesses. You need warning. In order for Misa to happen, right, the stars have to align. No. Absolutely not. Not anybody. In other words, they have to do it judiciously, but they'll give Malkus if deemed necessary. The Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin said, right, Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadosh Bebiya, right? There are three ways to be Mekadosh a woman, Bekesef Peshtar Biya. So even though a man can be Mekadosh a woman by having relations with her, so, but Rav says, you know what? That's inappropriate. And on top of that, Rav's Beis Din, there was a man who was Mekadosh a woman with Biya. The rabbis already said, don't do that. He did it. They gave him Malkus. Again, it's within the Chachamim's ability to give out punishment in order to dissuade people from engaging in certain behaviors. They have that power. Yeah. Okay, we have a daf. So right, come to me afterwards, and we'll follow up. Okay, Mefarsimim Esach Hanafim Mimnechila Hashem. Okay, the people who are Hanafim, right? Basically, hypocrites. And what you need to do is you need to call them out, right? Now, again, this is very touchy business over here because, right, you're engaging in what under normal circumstances would be called Lashon Hara. However, if a person is acting in a way where the way he presents himself and the way he behaves are not in agreement with one another, and this goes back to yesterday's Gemara of Chilul Hashem, meaning and in doing so, he really is putting a bad name to it. So Mefarsim Emesach Hanafim. So you have to call him out. So Mimnei Chilul Hashem. Shenemar Veshuv Tzadik Mitzidko V'Asa Ivel V'Nasati Mechshol Lefanav. So Tshuvas Hamuchlatim Ha'akevas Ha'pranios. The and what it does is that it prevents catastrophes from coming. Ve'afa Pishin Nasatim Alav Gzar Din Shel Pranios Shavas V'Shaim Sofa Tekala. So and even though there is a Gzar Din Pranios, the Shavas Rishayim, when Rishayim have a little bit of respite, they have a little bit of a breathing room. So that's not a good thing. And Vavrishus Mekaveres Es Ba'alaha. So and as far as being taking leadership positions are concerned, so you know what it does? It buries the people who take leadership positions, right? In other words, if you take a leadership position, so it's you know, it wears you down, and it shortens your life. The Gemara elsewhere, I forgot where. The Gemara elsewhere talks about Yosef. You know, Yosef died before all the other brothers, right? One of the youngest, and meanwhile, died the earliest. 110, if I remember correctly. He died at an age of 110. And the Gemara elsewhere says, because he took a leadership position. And it's, you know, it is a bad thing. He had a shorter life, but in other words, but that's just simply the give and take of taking a leadership position. It wears you down. So Aram nechnas alav Aram yatsa mimenu ulavai shiteyetzia kibia. Right, you go in literally naked, but in other words, you go in unscathed. You hopefully come out unscathed. That's the hope. Okay, and the Gemara now is going to discuss a little bit more about this idea of people taking on leadership positions, community leadership positions, and basically it's hard. In other words, it's a responsibility. Somebody's got to do it, and hopefully somebody competent is going to do it. But at the same time, it is a responsibility, and it comes with it liability. Okay, it's just the realities of life. And here the Gemara presents it's real. So Rav ki avanafik lemeidin dina. So Rav would go to Beis Din. In other words, Rav served as a dayan, and he would go to Beis Din. Amar hachi, and this would be his declaration. But savanaf shela katal anafik. Right, I'm basically taking my own life, my life into my own hands. Meaning, I'm going to be serving as a judge. Now, obviously, if everything goes well, I'm going to judge correctly. But at the same time, I may not judge correctly. And whose responsibility is that? It's going to be on me. So I'm taking my life into my own hands. And not only that, by the way, but you know, I'm not taking care of any of my house responsibilities. Meaning, while I'm judging, so I'm here at work and I'm not home. I'm not helping. And v'reken labeis ha'azel. And on top of that, do you know how much pay I'm taking home with me? Zero, right? I'm not. In other words, to be a judge, it's a non-paying judge. I'm sorry, it's a non-paying job. So I am receiving no money. And again, this line of that I hope I go home the same way I came here, meaning with the same level of culpability, liability. Meaning I hope I did everything correctly today. Okay, all right. It's I'm not even sure. Is that a tefillah? is that just a hope? Whatever. It's real. In other words, it's a real understanding that to take a leadership position, to do community work, right? It means that you're the one who's going to be responsible if something goes wrong. So why do it? Because somebody has to do it. Okay. Rava ki have enough of the dina. Rava, when he would serve as a judge. Amar hachi. So this is what he would say as we now turn to the top of his Zayin and Medallah. Okay, so Rava got it from Rava. It's the same lines. We continue. V'chi havu pei Zayin and Medallah, three lines down. V'chi havi chaze ambua basrei. Now Rava would have an entourage, right? A group of Talmidim would always go with him wherever he went. And so when you are a follower, so it could lead to arrogance, understandably, right? People are literally following you and escorting you from wherever you go. So Amar, so what he does is he reminds himself that he needs to be humble. He quotes the pasuk in Iyov. So Yimiala l'shamayim co v'rosho la'av yagia kiglalo la'netzach yoved ro'av yomer ayo. Eventually, what's going to happen is that you're going to be lost, and people are going to say, "What happened to him?" So in other words, any cover that you're getting is going to be temporary, and eventually, it's all going to end. And he quoted this pasuk in Iyov and basically kept his ego in check. Rav Zutra havek mechat filei b'shabbos deregila. So on the Shabbos before Yontif, right? Before the Yontifs, we have Pesach, we have Shabbos Agadol. By Yom Kippur, we have Shabbos Tshuva. Okay, anyway, so they had before Yontif, they had the Shabbos beforehand. They had basically convention where they would say over halachas and the halachas of Yontif. Anyway, so on this Shabbos deregila, so they would pick Rava up and they would put him on the shoulders. So if you have a mechat filei b'shabbos deregila, have a amar. So he would quote a pasuk from Mishlei again. If you're getting picked up and being escorted and being carried around, again, what you got to do is you got to put your ego in check. And he tries to do that by quoting the pasuk in Mishlei. Kilo la'olam chosem v'im nezer l'dor v'dor. You know, you're not going around with this crown forever. Again, it's temporary. And so he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei. Okay, why once quoting a pasuk from Iyov, another time quoting a pasuk from Mishlei? I don't know. But anyway, good. Se'es p'nei rasha lo tov. Okay, so here, as long as we're in the topic of discussion of being a leader and treatment of a leader, so the Gemara now is going to continue with other divrei agarata. We start with a pasuk in Mishlei. Here, the 18th parak. So se'es p'nei rasha lo tov, to basically lift up a wicked person, that's not good. So lo tov lehem l'rishayim shenosim lehem panim b'olam hazeh. So when you have a rasha, so anytime anything good is done to them, it's not a good thing. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example. Lo tov la'achav shenosim lehem panim b'olam hazeh. So Achav, so he received a little bit of good. Now he was, as far as kings are concerned, he was wicked. He killed together with his wife, and so really there should have been no courtesy extended to him whatsoever. And meanwhile, a little bit of chayin was given to him, a little bit of courtesy. The pasuk says, "Shenema yan ki nechna achav mi panai lo avi rabbi amav." So there was a moment in time when the Navi went over to him and said to him, Kadosh Baruch Hu really has had it with you. And he softened up just a little bit. And the Navi says to him good. So I'll tell you what, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a little bit of favor for you. And he'll give you a little bit of an extension. And that wasn't good. Now, again, these Gemaras are really difficult to understand. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that I have my head fully wrapped around these Gemaras. Right, the Akash Baruch Hu doesn't know it's a good thing. Akash Baruch Hu knows it's a bad thing, and meanwhile, he extends it anyway. It's all part of the divine plan. So when the Gemara here says it's low tov, it's simply not good. What does that mean? It's not good. Meaning, obviously, it's not good. But if that's the system in which we work with, it's difficult to understand what exactly the point is that the Gemara is trying to make over here. La'atot tzadik b'mishpat tov lahem. I'm sorry, la'atot tzadik b'mishpat. Once again, we go back to the pasuk of Mishlei. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so for the tzaddik, so he should literally bend the rules a little bit. So tov lam tzaddikim she'im nosim lahem panim ba'olam hazeh. So this still falls under the category, right? So this still falls under the category of lotov, meaning that for a tzaddik there should be no bending of the rules. And tov lam tzaddikim she'im nosim lahem panim ba'olam hazeh. And the Gemara says exactly that. Meaning that for the tzaddik in this world, there should be no nesias kapayim. All right, there should be no favor extended. So tov lo lamoshe shelo nasu lo panim b'olam hazeh shenemar yam lo hamantim bi lahakti sheni. Right, for Moshe Rabbeinu, so there was literally no favor that was granted to him. Meaning, as a result of the fact that he was involved in the main meriva, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "That's it." So ilu hamantim bi adayin lo higias manam li patir min olam. Meaning, and if you would have just did exactly what I asked you to do, so you would have. You would not have been excused from this world.
You mean you would have lived longer than 120 years?
Yeah, presumably. The Gemara now discusses what it is that a tzaddik is able to do. In other words, not only provide a schus for himself, but for also for his children as well, and grandchildren. At sof kol adaros, in that extent, shekama banim hayu lo la'aron shiroyim lisarev, kenadav aviyu. So by Aaron, so now two of his sons died. The truth of the matter, says a Gemara, this is a strong Gemara. So truth of the matter is that more of them should die. Now, there were four in total. So obviously what we're discussing is the other two. Shenemar hanosarim. So, and the Pasuk says, those that were spared. What does that mean, those that were spared? So the Gemara's understanding over here is that they also should have gone as well. Eloshamalem schus aviyim. But meanwhile, they had the schus of their father. Okay. Now, when it comes to a Russia, same basic idea is that they create a chova not only for themselves, but that extends even for future generations as well. So now Kenan had a lot of children, and a number of them could have become like Tevi. Tevi was the Eved Kenani of Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel spoke really highly of Tevi. The Gemara speaks really highly of Tevi, right? There are many Gemaras that speak to his level of righteousness. And our Gemara over here says that he was a musmach. Okay, he got some sort of ordination. Anyway, Elo shechovetz avim gamar lahem. So the truth of the matter is Tevi is the outlier. The norm, of course, is that the Bnei Kenaan did not end up like Tevi. The Gemara says, fine. And the idea is that it's only because of the chova that was given by the Alter Zaidi, the progenitor of the entire Kenan family, otherwise known as Kenan. So his chova went ahead and went into the future generations as well. Generally speaking, we say throughout the Gemara that lo yumsu avosa abanim ubanim alavasam, that's a pasuk in Chumash, but the Gemara's understanding is that generally speaking, you do not have to answer for the averus of your fathers. In other words, everyone is treated independent of others. So our Gemara over here that talks about zchus and chova going for future generations. Okay, so like many times, you just have to simply blend together the two ideas, meaning that for corporal punishments, obviously, so there is you do not have to answer for any of the averus of one's parents. However, obviously, when we're talking about schus and chova over here, we're talking about not corporal punishments. We're talking about, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's ledger, it just simply, there is an extension of schus and averos that go through the generations. Kol ha-mezach ez-rabim ein chet ba al yado. So if you present the schus for the public, so that you're going to receive siyata deshma, you're not going to have a chet. V'chol ha-mach ez-rabim, so kima'at ein maspikim b'yad l'asos tshuva. And if you're not only a chote, but a machti, you cause other people to sin, so Akash Baruch Hu will prevent you from doing tshuva. Kol ha-mezach ez-rabim ein chet ba al yado ma'itam k'deish lehei, hu beginim v'tamid began eden. And the Gemara over here gives a really interesting explanation as to why that should be. And the Gemara says, because look, we don't want the person to be in Gehenna while the Talmidim are in Gan Eden, meaning we want everyone to be good together. So, Shenemar Kilos Azov Nashilo Sha'olo Siten Chasachelor O Shachas and V'cholamachzis Rabim, and anyone who causes others to sin, so Ein Maspikin B'yado Lasos Tshuva Shelo Yehu B'Gan Eden V'Talmidim B'Gehenna. Why, you're going to be in Gan Eden, your students are going to be in Gehenna. Shenemar Adam Ashok B'Dam Nefesh Ad Bor Yanus Al Yismachu Bo. So again, the same basic idea that you shouldn't be in one place and somebody else should be in the other. Okay, it could very well be, I'm suggesting, I don't know this to be correct, that our Gemara over here is going to be a source for the Rambam. So we know that Paro was no longer given Bechira. And Paro had the Makos come down, and after each Makah, he really thought, okay, I'm ready to send out Bnei Yisrael. And the Pasuk says in various forms, one way or another, that Kosh Baruch Hu hardened the heart of Paro. And he lost his ability to make choices. That's a simple reading of the Pasuk. And the Rambam, going back to Hilchos Tshuva again today, so the Rambam writes six perek of Hilchos Tshuva. I think I'm right. So I should double check before. So anyway, so the Rambam, the sixth perek of Hilchos Tshuva, so he writes that Paro was he had his Bechira taken away from him. Okay, in other words, he was He was such a bad person. In other words, Bechira is fundamental, right? In the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes how Bechira is basically what makes us human, our ability to choose and to make decisions and to choose good over bad or bad over good. And then the sixth parak, the Rambam notes that some people had that Bechira taken away from them, stripped away from them. And Paro is a case study. And he says, and the reason why is because he was so bad. And our Gemara over here, although the Gemara over here doesn't cite Paro as one of the examples, but our Gemara over here certainly seems to support that idea that if you're a Chote and you're a Machte, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not afford you the ability to do tshuva, it certainly sounds like it would be a good support for the Rambam. Okay. HaOmer. We're on Pezayin Amud Aleph. We are halfway down on the Amud. HaOmer HaChatev HaShuv HaChatev HaShuv. So when the person says that, you know what, I'll sin and I'll do tshuva, I'll sin and I'll do tshuva. So lama l'meimar chatev hashuv chatev hashuv trei zimnei in the Mishnah, why does it say two times? Kid Rav Huna. So the Gemara says it supports that which we learn in the name of Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna, sorry, kid Rav Huna, Amarav, the Amar Rav Huna, Amarav, kevish shaver adam aver v'shana ba hutrolo. I know it sounds familiar because we saw this earlier. Okay, but now it fits into the lashon haMishnah, and now the Gemara is basically saying that what our Mishnah is doing is it's basically reminding us of the halacha of Rav Huna Marav, which is that you've repeated Avera, so now it becomes mutter. And again, same back and forth. Hocholo sagadach, what do you mean? It really becomes mutter? Elanasis lo keheter. No, what it means is that it now becomes like its mutter, meaning, again, you become desensitized to the Avera. You no longer even feel bad that you're doing something that is wrong. Echetev yom ha-kippur mechaper and yom ha-kippur mechaper. The Mishnah talks about a strategy with which the Mishnah says this is a really bad strategy, which is that you say, I'm going to sin, but I got Yom Kippur coming up and I'm good. And the Mishnah says, and Yom Kippur is not going to help you at all. Now, Lema Masis and Lo Karebi. So for now, for a second time, we get to go over Shitas Rebbe. We went over in yesterday's daf. We're going to now get to see it again today. Detanya Rebbe Omer, Ala Kola Vesha B'Torah, Ben Asa Tshuva, Ben Lo Asa Tshuva, Yom HaKippur Mechaper. So we know that according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is mechaper even without tshuva. Yom Kippur, the koach of Yom Kippur is such that it can generate tshuva in of itself. As we commented yesterday, it's an amazing shita of Rebbe. Again, the Rambam doesn't pasken that way, but it's such an amazing shita of the koach of Yom Kippur. Anyway, our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe, right? Now, I know we made this point yesterday, but we were making the point yesterday on another piece of the Mishnah. So now it sounds like from our Mishnah over here, also it doesn't conform to the Shita of Rebbe. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Afilu Temer Rebbe, Agav Shani. Meaning, let's say it like this. Rebbe says that Yom Kippur is a Mechaper. And Yom Kippur works even without Tshuva. That is Shita's Rebbe. But Rebbe, even Rebbe has a limit. Meaning, when a person comes there before Yom Kippur and says, I'm doing this Avera, and I'm banking on the fact that this Yom Kippur is going to provide a Kapara, even Rebbe says, no, Yom Kippur doesn't work for that. Yom Kippur cannot be banked on for an aver that you're planning on doing with having in mind that Yom Kippur is going to be mechaper. Even Rebbe has a limit. Yom Kippur is a mechaper, but only when the avera was done because, in other words, we all have a Yetzer Hara, and we all gave in to our Yetzer Hara. And for that, Yom Kippur is mechaper, but not for the person who's trying to use Yom Kippur to his advantage. Aver Shebein Adol HaMakom Ramele Rav Yosef Barchav Le Rebbe Abahu. The following question was posed to Rebbe Abahu. Aver shebein adam lechaver in yom kippur mechaper. So averos between one and another, interpersonal averos. So Yom Kippur by itself is not going to be a mechaper. V'aksi v'miachetah ish leish ufila lo elokim. So meanwhile, the pasuk in the beginning of Shmuel says that when one person sins to another, clearly it's describing interpersonal. Ufila lo elokim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with it. Right now we think, this is the way Rashi explains it, we think right now the word Elohim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, now, man Elohim Dayane. So the Gemara says, no, Elohim over here means Dayanim. Right? Through a number of times in Chumash, the word Elohim is meant to just simply describe describe Dayanim. So here as well. So Yahachi and Masefa, the Gemara says, okay, but let's read on in that Pasuk in Shmuel. Now, if the sin is Lashem, so then Ishmi is Palalo. Then nobody can do anything about it. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you how to read the second half of the pasuk. Im yachate ish leish ufilalo elokim yimchalo. Okay. So the first part of the pasuk will read like this. Let's say you have a gripe with somebody. Somebody aggrieved you, or you aggrieved somebody else. So you know what you do? You go to Beis Din, and conflict resolution, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu now will forgive you. Meaning, first you have to resolve, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. But if your avera is not being am lechaver, but rather it's been am lamakom, so there's nobody here who can intercede. That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva u'maisim tovim. And in terms of what is going to be representing you, meaning you don't have a Beis Din to go to, so what do? So it's very simple. I say very simple, easier said than done. But tshuva, masim tovim. Meaning, okay, you do tshuva and you conduct in a much better fashion, and that will intercede on your behalf. Okay, that will provide for you a kapara. Amar Rav Yitzchak l'maknit es chavero afilu b'dvarim tzorach l'faiso. So let's say you and your friend now have a falling out. And if it's a filo bedvarim, and even if it's just whatever, it's words. You slighted him, he slighted you. So what you have to do is that you have to go in a peace. Okay? And now when I say easier said than done, okay, this is one of the hardest things. In other words, to go to somebody and to look him in the eye and simply apologize and say, I'm sorry. And please forgive me. It's extraordinarily difficult. And the Gemara says, and that's what we have to do. So the pasuk of Mishlei says, "Look, if you basically, I'm not translating literally, but basically, if you have a fallout with somebody, so here's what you do. So aseizos eifo beniv nitzel ki bat bechaf reecha lechis rapes v'rahav reecha. So basically, now go over there and try to sort it out. Ask for forgiveness. And now imamon. So yesh biyadcha terpisas yad." Meaning, and what we're reading in the pasuk is basically, it doesn't matter what the falling out is over. Let's say it's over money. So good. So if it's over money, right? He owes you money. You owe him money. Okay. So pay the man. Okay. So in other words, the conflict resolution is really easy. You owe somebody money. So pay him. V'im lav harbea lav re'im. Now let's say it's not over money. It's over slights. He insulted you. You insulted him. You know, whatever. Right? It's just human interaction. It happens. So what you should do is, So get some friends together, meaning appease him. Ask others to intercede on your behalf. Amar Rav Chisda Tzarech Lefaiso b'shalosh shuros shel shlosha b'nei Adam. And what you should do is have rows of people come and intercede on your behalf. Okay, it's like a march. It's like a parade, right? With the first row of three people, please forgive him. A second row of three people. Okay, now, obviously, right, one right after the other probably isn't effective. It just simply means that on three occasions, what you should do is you should get people to intercede on your behalf. Shenemar Yashur al Anashim, v'amar chatasi v'yashar ha'aviti v'lo shavali. Okay, so okay, this idea of shura, right, this idea that a row of people, now a row of people, the Gemara is assuming it's to be three. Okay, so that means now that you need to employ nine people in total to try to get them to accept your apologies. Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chinna Kol Mavakesh Mata Mechavero Al Yavakesh Mimenu Yosef Mishalosh Pa'amim. This is a very popular halacha. Everyone seems to know this halacha. Okay, but it's in today's daf. The idea is that how many times should you ask for forgiveness? So three times. Again, right? I'll add three different occasions, obviously. But in other words, but on three times you should ask for forgiveness. No need to ask for more than three. Shenemar Ana. That's already considered one. Sana v'ata sana. Okay, so for three occasions, right? This is the end of Sefer Bereishis. This is Yosef. This is the brothers. Obviously, right, for really good reason. So Yosef was the aggrieved party. The brothers went over and begged for forgiveness from Yosef. And now that Yaakov died, so now they were really worried that Yosef was going to do something to them. And also, right, I haven't heard somebody say this, but I'm also guessing that they didn't want to go through this while Yaakov was alive. Yaakov knew about the sale. Yaakov didn't know about the sale, right? I've heard numerous shirim arguing in either direction. I literally have no idea. But in other words, but now that Yaakov died, now they can air it out because right, whatever. So anyway, so they ask for forgiveness. They beg for forgiveness. The imeis. Now, let's say you aggrieve somebody and Rachmanis, the person died, and you didn't have a chance to ask for forgiveness. So what do you do? So the Gemara over here says, has a method. And basically you get 10 people assembled by his kever, and you ask for forgiveness. Unclear as to what's happening over there, why you're getting 10 people, what are they accomplishing? Just, I understand what to do. I don't have an understanding. Yeah, I understand it's a minion. Well, good. So, okay. I don't know. I literally don't know. All right, Rav Yirmiyah Havalei Milsa LeRabbi Abba Bahadei. Okay, so some really amazing, some fantastic episodes, incidents that we get to go through. So Rav Yirmiyah, so he had it out with Rabbi Abba. Actually, Rabbi Abba had it out with Rav Yirmiyah, right? Rabbi Abba was the aggrieved, and Rav Yirmiyah was the provocateur. Okay, the
Rav Yirmiyah was the aggrieved. No.
We'll see. I think I'm right. Okay, we'll see. So Rabbi Yirmiyah Havalei Milsa LeRabbi Abba Bahadei. So Azal Esev Adasha de Rabbi Abba. So what happens now is that he's knocking on the door of Rabbi Abba, right? Because he's looking to ask for forgiveness. So Bahadei Deshaje Amta Maya Mata Zizufa de Maya Areshe. So now the shivcha of Rabbi Abba was pouring out the water, right? There was wastewater. Right, reminiscent of Haman and right. Okay, good. So so she's pouring out the water, and Rabbi Abba's right there in the front door. And let's say it was a mistake, but whatever, it was an accident. And now the water lands right in Rabbi Abba's head. Amar Asuni Kashpa, it lands on Rabbi Yirmiyah's head. Right? Rabbi Yirmiyah was at the front knocking on the door, and now with the wasted water on his head, he says, you know what I am now? I'm an ashpa. I'm a garbage. Kara nafshe. May Ashpos Yarim Evyon. Oh. So I'm gonna be lifted up from the garbage heap. Oh. He saw it as a good simon. So Shama Rabbi Abba Venafak. So now Rabbi Abba hears what's going on. And Venafak Lape. And Rabbi Abba now goes and he meets with Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah came to ask for forgiveness from Rabbi Abba. Now we have a turn in the story. So Amalei Hashat Sochin La Mepek Adaitech. Now I have to ask you for forgiveness. I'm really sorry, right? Obviously, it was an accident, but still, I'm asking for forgiveness. And again, we go back to that pasuk in Mishlei. Okay. Rabbi Zera kavale milsa bahadi inish. So Rabbi Zera, so when he had basically an insult together with anybody, the Gemara over here doesn't give us a specific story, but rather gives us a strategy. So have a chalavatani lekame umamsile. And now basically what he did is he made himself available. I'm available for asking for forgiveness. In other words, right? In other words, I don't want to make myself inaccessible. I'm making myself accessible. I'm giving you the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Right? I'm not running away from you. Rav Havalei Milsa, Rav had a slight together with a particular butcher. Now here, Rav was on the receiving end of, he was the one that was aggrieved. The butcher did something. Okay, unclear what, doesn't matter. Lo asal kame bemale yuma de kipore. So now what should have happened is that the tabach should have asked forgiveness from Rav, and Erev Yom Kippur, that is the auspicious time in terms of asking for forgiveness. But he didn't go. He didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Amar iu ezo ana lipiyuse le. So Rav says, okay, so I'm going to go to him. So pagabe Rav Huna, amar le lehecha ka'azo mar. So now, as Rav was headed towards the tabach, he meets up with Rav Huna, Talmud of Rav, and he says, and Rav Huna says, where are you going? So amar le lipiyuse le panaye. So he says, look, I'm struggling with the tabach right now. We have it falling out. We're gonna make amends. So Amar Ezo Abba Lamektel Nafshei. Rav Huna says, I'm not sure that's a great idea. In fact, I really think that you're risking your life in going over there. Okay, this particular butcher in mind, right? I'm gonna take the Gemara literally over here, like he's gonna kill you. Like it's just
you're gonna kill him.
Or you're gonna kill him.
Yeah,
okay. If he doesn't, okay, good. So Azav Kamilave Ava Yasav Kapali Reshe. So, okay, Rav was undeterred, and he continues. And he goes over there, and now the butcher, v'kapele reshe. So what he's doing is he's working on some bones, he's cracking bones. He's a butcher, yeah, right? He's doing butcher things. So dali eine v'chazya. So he lifts up his eyes, and now the butcher sees Rav. So amalei abaat zil leis li milsa ba'adech. And so the butcher says to Rav, he's like, oh, this is you, Rav? So he says, I want nothing to do with you. Okay, so clearly, this butcher is in a bad place, and he doesn't want any kind of peace whatsoever. He's not interested in appeasement. So, behadu de kapale reshe, ishtame garma machia bikoi vikatle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically takes a, while he's working with the bones, so one of the bones snaps, hits him right in the throat, and kills the butcher. And obviously it's Menashe Mayim that because the butcher refused to go ahead and make any kind of reconciliation together with Rav, so he was met out with an onish Menashe Mayim and immediately. And Rav Huna was right. And Rav Huna was right. Okay. Rav Ava Pasuk Sidre Kame de Rebbe. Okay, Rav was learning Chumash. And I say Chumash, by the way. Rashi says not Chumash. Rashi says Nevi'im, Ksuvim. So, but whatever. Rav was studying some Nach, and in front of Rebbe. Okay, I know Rebbe's a Rebbe, and Rav is a Talmud. But okay, Rav was teaching, and as we turn to the Amud Beis, also Rebbe Chia. So Rebbe Chia now walks into the Shir. Okay, and Rebbe Chia also wanted to learn together with him. So also Rebbe Chia Hadal Reishe. So Rav says, okay, I'll start at the beginning. We'll start at the beginning of the shir. So Ayo Bar Kapara. So Bar Kapara comes in, Adal Reshe. And once again, let's go back to the beginning of the shir. Asa Rabbi Shimon Berebi. And in comes Rabbi Shimon Berebi. Okay, Adal Reshe. Goes back to the beginning of the shir. Asa Rabbi Chanina Berebi Chama. So Amar Kule Hai Nahad of Nezel. At this point in time, he lost his patience. I got to hand it to him, by the way. He was doing great. And then it comes a point in time where like, okay, that's it. So lo hadar. So he didn't go back. But as you can imagine now, Rabbi Chanina probably came to learn that he went back for everybody else. He started again for everybody else, and he didn't start again for Rabbi Chanina. And understandably, it's, you know, you can get offended by that. He got offended. So lo hadar. Ikbid Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina now was upset with Rav. Az Rav lagabit tlei samala yomi dikipur velo yifayes. So Rav now went to Rabbi Chanina on 13 Erev Yom Kippurs. Okay, just for a moment, imagine year number 12, year number 13, a knock on the door. Please forgive me. Kind of knows what the answer is going to be. So ve'eche avid hachiv amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina kol mavakish matu mechavero al yivakish mimeni Yosef mishosh pa'amim. So the Gemara says, okay, now, how many times do you need to ask for forgiveness? So we learned that in today's daf. You only need to ask for forgiveness three times. After three times, right, the forgiveness is not given to you. So you don't need to ask again. Meaning you get a check in the box. You tried. So the Gemara says, Rav Shani, the Gemara says, okay, but Rav is different. Rashi says, Machmer Hayal Atzmo. He just simply was Machmer upon himself. Rabbi Chanina Hechi Avid Hachi. So the Gemara wants to know. Never, as far as Rabbi Chanina was concerned, like what was his thought process? V'hamar Ravikol Amavir Amidosav Ma'avir and Lo Akop Shav. All you have to do is forgive. Again, I'm saying this as if it's so easy. I know it's not. But all you have to do is forgive somebody. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you the same way. You forgive somebody else. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you in kind. You don't think Rabbi Chanina wanted to be forgiven by Kadosh Baruch Hu? Like, why in the world would he not forgive Rav? So Ella Rabbi Chanina Chama Havalei LeRav. So the Gemara says that there's a story behind the story, and that is Rabbi Chanina had a dream that Rav was zakfu bedikle, literally hung on a tree. But in other words, as the dream was concerned, the Gemara in Brachos goes through all the various dreams and all their meanings of the various dreams. And Ugumiri, and as far as having a dream about someone being hung on a tree, that's a positive thing. Right, you're going to find that in the Gemara Brachos at the end, where the Gemara goes through all those dreams. The dreams themselves, like some of them, are really like distasteful. But meanwhile, in terms of the interpretation, like you know, sometimes it comes out to be a positive. So over here, Ugamir, we have a tradition. So the tradition is that the that anyone who if you have a dream about somebody, so he's going to become Rosh Hashiva. So Amar Shma Minei Bar Lameved Rishusa V'lo Yifayis Kehechad Alezov Ligmar Oraisa Bebavel. And basically, here's my strategy, meaning that I'm not going to forgive him. And therefore what? Therefore, he's going to leave. He's going to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's going to go to Bavel. And he'll become a Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. And Rashi over here goes on even further. And Rashi says that the reason why Rabbi Chanina did that is because we have a general rule that the next Rosh Yeshiva will only take over in other words, there will be a changing of the guards of Rosh Yeshiva. And that means to say that if Rav took over here, so that means that the current Rosh Yeshiva now is no longer going to be So the and that means that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama will no longer be alive. So basically, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, for the purposes of self-preservation, was basically saying, no, I'm not going to forgive you, with the hope that Rav will not assume Rosh Yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael and that he will go to Bavel. By the way, mission accomplished. Meaning Rav did end up going to Bavel. So our Gemara over here at the end of Yuma, in terms of an explanation, of in terms of why Rav went to Bavel, so here we have it. The Gemara at the end of the Masechta Yuma. Okay, this is going to be our stopping point today. We will pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tana Rabbanan. And I understand we're behind, but as you can see, we're hopefully in a good place to conclude with the Masechta tomorrow. And that means, how are my days? Today is Wednesday, right? Yeah. Okay, so that means that Friday. So Friday, Mirza Hashem, we begin Masechta Sukkah. Okay.